me just mention a few things that are expected to happen here and then take any questions. In the Senate this week, we're going to try to move to a small business jobs and tax relief bill that is a variation on what we've done, what we did a few years ago, and that is to provide what's called bonus depreciation for small businesses. So if they buy a piece of equipment, for example, they could write off the entire cost of that in the first year, and they could do that between now and the end of 2012. It also, of course, would provide a new provision in there, which would say that to the extent that they increase their payroll, that is either hire new people and add them to the payroll or increase wages for the folks that they've already got, they would get a 10% tax credit for any increase in that payroll up to $500,000. That's a benefit to some companies that are able to add people and able to increase wages of their workers, and it's an incentive for them to do that. That's the idea behind it. I hope we'll get some bipartisan support for this legislation and be able to actually pass something along this line in the Senate. I'm not sure that that'll be the case. On the House side, of course, I think there's been a lot of publicity about their plan to once again vote to repeal the health care legislation that was passed a couple of years ago and signed by the president. During this Congress, have voted to repeal that 20, 25 times. This will be one more time. After they wanted to do that, of course, after the Supreme Court decision that it is constitutional. So those are some of the issues. The president, I believe, today is also going to be urging that Congress go ahead and act before we adjourn this Congress to extend the current tax levels for people with incomes of $250,000 or less per couple. And the idea of that is that these are reductions in the taxes of those folks, which were put in place on a temporary basis. The 1st of January, those taxes will go up again on all Americans if we don't take action. The Republican position, the alternative that they'll offer is that we should extend the so-called Bush-era tax cuts for everybody, including the wealthy, those with incomes substantially above the $250,000. So those are some of the issues. Frankly, what we're going to see, unfortunately, over the next several weeks is a substantial amount of posturing here in the Congress as people focus more and more on the fall election. That happens to some extent every time there's an election year. I think it's going to happen to an even greater extent this year. Why don't we go ahead with any questions? Bill, if you had any questions, go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much. The rationale for the tax cuts on the wealthy, as I recall, was that it would create jobs. Don't tax the job creators because they create the jobs. Is that your recollection as well?
Well, that was a major part of it, yeah. And obviously that did not happen as a result of those tax provisions. And I said when those tax cuts were enacted in 2001 and 2003 that we were cutting taxes more than we could afford to, and that the deficit would be increasing very substantially as a result. Unfortunately, that is what turned out to be the case, and we need to go back and take back some of that funding going forward so that we can continue to bring down the size of the deficit.
Well, there is that point, and the job numbers are now being criticized from both camps, finger-pointing. The argument of the Obama administration is that they're not creating jobs, but that was the idea behind the tax cuts for the job creators.
No, that's right. The idea was that folks with a substantial amount of money would be able to spend more of that with job creation activities if they were just allowed to keep it. In fact, they have kept it, and the jobs have not been created, and we're now faced with a very substantial deficit, which we're trying very hard to find ways to cut into, and this is one of the ways that I think makes sense.
What do you see as the outcome for cutting taxes for the middle class and deleting the tax breaks for the super wealthy?
Well, it'll be blocked. The president's proposal that he's making to that effect will be blocked in the Senate by the Republicans. It will probably not even be brought up in the House for a vote. All of that will be put off till after the election and until there is some negotiated resolution of this. There's not only the increase in tax rates that will occur automatically the 1st of January that's scheduled, but of course there's the proposed cuts in funding in domestic programs and in defense programs under the so-called sequester that will also occur the 1st of January. So all of that's going to have to be negotiated together, and I think realistically it's going to have to be done after the election.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Mike, did you have questions?
Yeah, Senator, I did. Let's want to get to the healthcare issue for just a second. I know that you've spent three decades in the Senate, and I know you've seen all sorts of things that have popped up during your three decades or so in the Senate. Have you ever seen any piece of legislation this divisive during your time in the Senate?
Frankly, I haven't, and I really haven't seen an issue that's been this divisive either. I think the history of trying to expand health care coverage to all Americans so that you have access to adequate health care services if you need them, that all Americans would have that access, that's been a struggle for five or six decades. I think President Truman was the first president to call for that health care reform when he was president in a State of the Union speech that he gave, and many presidents since then have called for it. We did finally enact it 2 years ago. It's not a perfect bill by any means, but it does expand coverage to 30 million people who don't have it today. It does reform the insurance system for providing health care, and I think it makes many of the reforms that had to be made. There's been a constant drumbeat both before it was passed and afterwards by those who oppose it, by the Republicans in the Senate here unanimously opposed it, the same thing in the House of Representatives, and they continue to beat the drums to try to repeal it. So the claim is they want to repeal it and replace it. Of course, there's no proposal to replace any of it.
Yeah, want to get your thoughts, and I don't know if you've expressed them, and if you have, if you could express them again, but what were your thoughts on the Supreme Court ruling on this issue that came down a couple weeks ago?
Well, I was glad that the Supreme Court concluded that five members of the court concluded that the Congress had the constitutional authority to enact the law, which I had believed from the beginning. I think it's unfortunate that Justice Roberts agreed with four others on the court that authority did not exist under the Commerce Clause. I think it clearly does based on the precedence of the court up until this decision. So I didn't think that the reasoning of the court on that issue was correct, but the end result was one that I think was the correct result.
Okay, and finally, how do you react to all the naysayers who say that this is going to, again, going back to the issue of raising taxes, it's going to take us down the road to a single-payer system and everything else? How do you react to some of the criticism that's being thrown about right now?
Well, this is an alternative to going to a single-payer system. This is the alternative that the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank here in Washington, they They really were the first to propose that we adopt a system like we have adopted, which would keep the private insurance companies in the forefront of providing coverage in the country, but would ensure that they do it in a reformed way that would ensure people get adequate coverage at reasonable prices. So I don't think this, you know, the claim that this is sort of a government takeover of the healthcare system is just not the case. This is a system that very much protects the ability of private insurance companies to be there selling the coverage. And that's what most members of Congress wanted. That's what we enacted.
All right, that will do it for now.
Okay. Bill, did you have other questions?
I do. On the healthcare law, the state of New Mexico is sort of behind the curve in starting to plan for enacting the healthcare law by 2014. They've just now begun setting up the task force to look into it. Do you think there's time enough to get it done in the next year and several months?
Well, I think that we built as much flexibility into the federal law as possible, and one of the options that the state has is to essentially reach out to the federal government and say we want to partner with the federal government in getting this health insurance exchange set up in New Mexico, and that's a way to do it, which is contemplated in the law, and I think probably given the short time frame that we have between now and the 1st of January of 2014 and the need to really begin signing people up and through the exchange in October of 2013, that kind of partnership between the federal government and the state is the only way we're going to get it done.
Okay, that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay, Mike, do you have anything else?
Yes, Senator, one final question. I know that a lot of people have been concerned about all the fires that have been burning across the state and everything else. Of course, just to the west of us here, or actually northwest of us here in Artesia, we've seen our friends and neighbors over in Lincoln County dealing with a little bear fire. Is there anything new you can tell us on what the federal government may be doing to help these people?
Well, what we passed the week before last was authority for the head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, to waive the requirement of a 30-day wait after you sign up for health for your flood insurance. That's a benefit. It's should be a benefit to people in Lincoln County and to people over in Catron County and Grant County, in particular, because many of those folks did not have adequate flood insurance with the rains starting to come. At this point, all over our state, the danger of flooding and the danger of damage from flooding is real. So anyone who has not gotten flood insurance needs to go ahead and get it signed up for it immediately. And they can do that without having to wait that extra 30 days that has been in the law prior to the new legislation.
I know that to the west of Carlsbad and Queen, toward the area around Queen, about 40 miles or so west of Carlsbad, they've also had a couple of fires. They had one that burned last week, and then of course they had a major one that burned last year. Would you be interested in maybe having the same things apply to people there as for those with the Little Bear fire and also the fire, the Whitewater Baldy fire out in Catron County as well?
Yeah, very much so. And the change we made in federal law to allow the head of FEMA to waive that 30-day period, that was a nationwide provision. So any community or any location in our state that wants to get access to that flood insurance should be able to do so now.
All right. Well, good enough. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, thank you both for talking with me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.